بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Normally before a person goes for Hajj, it's like when a person gets sick, then everyone who comes to visit you is a doctor. So when a person is going for Hajj, whoever you meet will give you some advice. And majority of the time, 75% or 90% of the advice, you're not going to remember. Because Hajj is a journey. As you're in that journey, it's going so fast. A person who goes couple of times for Hajj or Umrah, he himself learns his own. The mistake he made the last time, he won't make it the next time. So I will mention few points. May Allah Tabarakatuhu make it. It's not just that we're saying something because Maulana wanted me to say something. It's never been my desire that a person like gives a bayan to someone going for Hajj. He said, you going for Hajj, you have to make it happen. However, these few points is those that I found that benefited me or could have benefited me much more. And because of many a time we're making safar, whether it's going for Hajj or Umrah or going for any other journey, because we're at the airport many a time, then we have picked up certain things which we find nowadays beneficial for us, and if it's beneficial for you, then Mubarak. But to remember it won't be easy, and normally our minds are very weak, so I wrote down it 6 points, and then I will tell Maulana to take a picture of it. Normally in the past we would photostat it sometimes. Nowadays no one reads photostats. People read phones. So to photostat it, and then before the day, to look at it and just think about each point and the details of the point also that you don't bother about. Just look at that point, and if you can take some benefit from that point, then you will find that not only your Hajj journey, but any journey you make sometimes could create a lot of more benefit than what normally it will come out. So point number one, this is for Hajj, but for any journey, example, sometimes we go in Ramadan for programs. So it's a journey of deen. Sometimes you're going in Jamaat. So let the purpose of the journey be Allah, especially Hajj. So someone will say, then what else is it? It's obviously Allah. So I wrote here, let it not just be to finish a farz obligation. Do not view it as an obligation that needs to just get done. But it's a journey in which you have to find yourself and you have to find your Allah. Find yourself is what Maulana Rum Rahimullah said to the scholars of his time. He said, I accept that you'll have mastered everything. And you'll understand the details of everything. Now I'm asking you, who are you but? He says, it seems that the only thing you never thought about, that why are you here? You know how to use your phone and what it can do for you. You know how to use your car, what it can do, the computer, what it can do. Have you ever thought about what you can do? The power of what your dua can change the world. The power of what your tasbih can create in the heavens. The power of your one tear, how it can open up your doors. You are father, your power of dua for your child to pull him out of that haram. So to realize who you are, the best time is journey. Because in a journey, and we will come to that point now, where you will think about this? Where must you realize it? It is not just to fulfill an obligation, but it's a journey to realize who you are, your power, and who your Allah is with you. That what's your relationship? So for this, the journey starts from the day you leave your door. This is the point on point one that I really wanted to stress on. A tablighi journey doesn't start when you will reach the markaz. It starts the day the jamaat leaves the house. A journey on da'wat ila Allah, going for a program, doesn't start when I reach the country. A journey of umrah or hajj doesn't start when we reach the haram. If you make it start from there, that's one. And the second is, if your intention is this obligation must just get fulfilled. Sometimes a person makes a mistake. And they will even say, I'm so happy, it's over now. Now what they meant was that it was like a farz on me. But Allah made it such, like I finished it when I'm young, my children are young. But sometimes that sentence is not taken very well by Almighty Allah. That the way you made it, like it was an obligation which was like a problem on you. And sometimes that person after that Hajj will never get the chance again to ever go for Hajj. As though Almighty Allah will say, okay, I won't burden you again. Because that's how you said it. So don't ever make it like an obligation. It is a farz, but it's an honor. When you will view it as an honor, not an obligation to get finished. And the journey starts from your house, it doesn't start from the haram. Two things will happen. Point number one will happen is, see, when you leave your house, this is a journey where there's a lot of patience required. Lot of patience. And that patience is tested along the journey, not in the haram. In the haram, it's a thrill. Patience is tested from here to the airport, you'll get traffic. You or your wife will get late. Or if you're early, some other person is late. Or your agent is late. But that aeroplane will not take off until everyone is in the aeroplane. So whether you run past the counter first and you get past immigrations first or you get last, hardly ever someone came back and he said, yeah, I missed my plane. Where you will see it is when you're sitting, especially if you travel a lot, when you're sitting in the boarding lounge, do one thing, however, check in. Never ever wait to check in at the airport. Allah has made a system that you can do your checking from home. We have found on a journey, checking in from home has saved sometimes that person losing the whole ticket. So today with the computer, it's easy. Do your online check-in. Now your online check-in is done. You went early. When you went early, you sent your bags in. You went through immigration. But there's no rush. There's no wasting time also. Don't go and buy coffee and sit. But there's no rush. Especially when you finally reach that lounge, which is called now the departing lounge. Now you're sitting. Now you'll see one South African or Saudi Arabian desk person will make an announcement, we are ready for boarding. Suddenly you will see like the whole aeroplane stand up. When those people stand up, they're going nowhere. Because that woman at the desk, she's still going to take one by one. So suddenly you will see a huge line. That line will wait and you will see about three people sitting still. Those three people are people who have traveled for about six times already. They know that no one is going anywhere. So whether I'm standing or sitting, life is not going to change. Relax. So you also relax. Because to get in the aeroplane, there's no extra air there. It's the same. And your seat is already your seat. No one's going to take it. Sometimes it might happen. There's no place for your hand luggage. They'll find place for it. But there's no need to rush in the plane. There's no need to rush to stand up. When the plane lands, as soon as it lands, you'll see again the whole plane will stand up. Waiting to get off. No one is going anywhere. No matter how fast you run off that plane, Saudi airline, especially a Hajj terminal, you go nowhere. You are going to be waiting. This is your journey, but if your journey starts in the haram, you have wasted so much of time already, so much. During this time, khatams and khatams of Quran could have been done. But because three quarter of the world don't understand the journey started, they will not be making Quran here because they find no fadilat in this Quran. But this is Quran on a journey, so you are musafir. This is dua on a journey, so you are musafir. It's a journey of Hajj, so you the Haji. While a man is a musafir, he got greater honor in the eyes of Allah than when he's content in his hotel or in the haram. So on the way to the haram, your dua could have more power then your dua in the haram also. So what you do to make this journey, which is the boring journey, very easy. you must keep some kitab with you. On my journeys, I have found couple of things help me. One is a small Quran, which is called a pocket Quran. It helps the hafiz, it helps the non-hafiz. Especially the hafiz, you will never read Quran unless a Quran is in your hand. It could be in your phone, it could be a pocket Quran. When that Quran comes out, you will read two paras and you will see the rest of the people are still gone nowhere. But it won't harm you because you need to make your khatam. So the day you're leaving, if you say, today I need seven juz, seven paras, suddenly what other people are saying, taking very long, you will not be saying that. Because every time you're reaching a spot and you're looking for a place to sit down to start reading, someone saying, come, come, we have to go. So you say, so fast. So what others are saying, so long, because they got nothing to do. For you, it's so fast, because I only read quarter, I needed to do half. Keep a Quran with you. Don't leave your Quran for the haram. In the haram, you won't get time for Quran like how you will get time on the journey for Quran. When you're in the aeroplane, it will either be the television will catch your eye if you got nothing to do. And if you got something to do, it will be if you got something. A Quran will keep you away from the television. If you're a person who wears glasses and your eyesight is not good, the best thing for a man who sits in an aeroplane is when you sit, take out your glasses. After you take it out, you become blind from everything in the aeroplane. So if someone in front of you is watching a movie, you will not see it. And if your eyesight is good or your glasses are on, you might reach Makkah, Mukarramah, Jeddah, and only then you realize, hey, I watched a movie on my journey to Hajj. At home, I never watched television. But in the aeroplane, I got caught. So if you wear glasses, your eyesight is not good, then take out your glasses. If your eyesight is good, then say to yourself, that since I got a long journey ahead, let me finish up my two juz and sleep. So they give you that thing in the aeroplane that covers your eye. Cover your eye. Instead of getting caught with that television, this is not the time to watch a movie. It's that 6 hours, don't waste it. Either sleep in it, or read some Quran, or take a kitab, something that will keep you busy. Quran is the best, but normally I keep a book with me, also a kitab. Because we normally, after a while, we get tired, our head starts paining. But a kitab you can always read. So a Quran in the pocket has helped tremendously on the journey. A tasbih, Quran in the top pocket, a tasbih in my side pocket. Because those tasbihat that you thought in my life I'll never do, in this journey you can finish all of it. Because so much of time the journey is so much. Hajj terminal, they say it's like Qiyamah. But on the plains of Qiyamah, that person who's involved and enjoying the ibadat of Allah, he won't say hey, things are taking too long. He'll be busy reading his Quran. So become such a unique traveler that your musalla is with you and your Quran wherever you are. So you reach the airport, you're only looking for a place to read Quran. When you reach the terminal, you're only looking for a place to reach Quran. You are not rushing. Suddenly you will see all that people who are impatient will not affect you. Take your time. We reached the airport. There was one old person where I told him, sit. He said, no, I don't want to sit. I told him, you're not going to go anywhere. That person who's standing at the counter, it's the system of these Hajj terminals. That time it was Umrah. I said, it's a system of the Saudi Umrah. That even if that man is there, before we reach there, he'll go for tea. And he went waqi for tea. Suddenly our line is deciding, must I go in the other line now or must we stay in the line? He's gone. After half an hour, that old man said, hey, get me a chair. From the beginning I told you, take a chair and enjoy your Quran. No waiting, no one is going nowhere in this game. You're going to reach the haram, you're going to reach it. Until then, relax. Take your time. You reach the airport, sit. They need something filled in, relax. No push, no rush. That's the first. The journey starts from home. And the second was, when you will reach the haram, which normally is what you went for, because you're in ihram, it's going to be an umrah for you normally, it's not going to be your hajj ihram. We have found so many people, when they reach the haram, It's like to get out of this ihram as quickly as possible. So as soon as they enter the haram, there's a rush. They look at the time and they say, hey, in 1 hour it must get done. Suddenly they go, they look at the crowd and they say, heavy crowd, man. Or they say, hey, nice, the crowd is small. They quickly zing zamzam because they heard zing zamzam and then start. Quickly make a dua because they heard make one dua when you see your Kaaba. But everything, why it's called quickly, quickly? Because one thing was in their mind, get finished quickly. In this ihram, your ihram for umrah is that first ihram you're going to make. Then there'll be an ihram for hajj. Take your time. There's no rush. Because you're not going one side. So you're out of the rush. You are looking at the Kaaba, this is your first dua. Take your time and make dua. There's no rush. You don't have to stand and make the dua because then you're in the rush. Sit. Sit. And now make a lot of dua because this is your dua, your first dua seeing the Kaaba. There's no rush. Then don't rush. Take zamzam. Relax. Again make dua. Drink that. There's no rush. Now you'll go to the Kaaba. No rush. Because there's no time limit. Finish in 1 hour. Take it easy. For the Hafiz of Quran, the best I have found while making tawaf is to read Quran. The best for a person who knows Quran is to read Quran while making tawaf. You will never find tawaf is taking too long. As you are making tawaf, there's that one last part of each circuit where du'as are readily accepted. So when you reach there, you start making du'a. And every time you'll see, hey, it's taking too quickly. I'm only reading 3 pages of Quran, I'm already there. But if you've got something to do, you will never find it long. If you've got nothing to do, even 5 minutes is too long. Quran is the best helper for the person who can read with looking in and looking out so he doesn't bang into someone. You've got a kitab like Munajat-e-Maqbool, Hizbul A'zam, it's a kitab of du'as. It called 7 days. So each day got one section of du'as. So if you're not reading Quran, so day one means circuit one of your tawaf. So that woman example, she wants to make all these du'as in circuit one. Suddenly circuit one will finish and the du'as are not finished. So you say, so quickly my first circuit is done. But now I have to jump to circuit two, day two. So suddenly you turn to day two and you started your second circuit. When you got something to do, it will go very fast. Safa Marwa will now take place after your tawaf. For the Hafiz of Quran, he'll start his Quran. If you don't want to read Quran, you'll take out again your Munajat-e Maqbool, Hizbul Azam. Again, circuit one is the du'as of day one. Circuit two is the du'as of day two. When you got something to do, long will become little. When you got nothing to do, little also will become too long. Find something before you go. Don't land up on that spot and then say, hey, what must I do now? Beforehand, have a Quran ready. Have a kitab of dua. Hizbul Azam, Munajat and Maqbool is unique. But if you got any other kitab of dua, which especially divided into 7 parts, because in your hajj and in your umrah, you will find the 7 always will come handy. That Safa Marwa is 7, that Tawaf is 7. So if you got 7, that 7 will always keep you going. 1, 2, 3. So that's point number 1. It was a long point, but it's very important. That the maqsad of this journey is Allah, it's not to finish the obligation. And it starts from home. So take it easy, no rush, don't become impatient, don't waste the time where the rest of the world are wasting. Don't wait to get to the haram to start reading. Start from now. And lot will get done. Point number 2. In this journey you are the guest of Allah. And everyone around you is also the guest. And Allah is the host. Exactly how a host and a guest relationship is your relationship with Almighty Allah now. On the basis of that day, there will be 3 points that are going to be mentioned. Point number 1. A host always likes to ask the guest, you need anything. So in every step of this journey, Almighty Allah is asking you, you need anything. So don't lose the chance to make dua in this. So what we normally do when we go for Umrah is because Allah Tabarakala now has given many people the chance to go for a lot of Umrahs. So on every Umrah, now it's your Hajj, before making going now, you got so many days left. You sit down and you think about that for me now at the moment for this year. Maybe next year I'll go for Umrah again, but for this year, what do I think is like 3 or 5 of my most important du'as? So everyone, you think your own. Maybe my father is sick, that's my one du'a for him. Maybe I got a problem, I'm involved in some very filthy act, I need to pull out of it. Whatever it is you think and you write it down, specify 3 to 5 maximum, not more than that. Those 3 to 5 du'as is called your every spot du'a. It's called your every spot du'a means, as soon as you reach any point where you are told make du'a, before I make any other du'a, I'll first mention these 5. Because normally in life you'll say, yeah, I'll make du'a for this, but when you reach the point, you don't make that du'a. So example, we went for one journey, one boy wanted to memorize Quran. But it was just not coming, and a lot of time was going. So they were going for Umrah, so I said to the child, you say you're going for Umrah, so I want you to make one du'a on every stage. And you must tell your mother that she must every time remind you. So what's the stages? I said to him, you see, when you will reach the Kaaba, the first time you look at the Kaaba, you have to make dua. Before you start your dua, I want you to say this. Oh Allah, make my hifz easy. And then make whatever dua you want. You'll go to Zamzam, every time you're going to ring Zamzam, you first say, oh Allah, make my hifz easy. Then make any other dua. Soon as you reach the Kaaba, you by the Hajar-e-Aswad, you face it. You say Bismillah, you start your tawaf, you read your dua, you say, oh Allah, make my hifz easy, and then you start. As you're going around, you come to a place where your mother says, make dua here. First dua, oh Allah, make my hifz easy. You come to Safa Marwa, as soon as you start, oh Allah, make my hifz easy, then you start moving. You reach Marwa, first dua, oh Allah, make my hifz easy, then you come. I said, you will make this dua so many times in that journey, that Almighty Allah must become shy, that before my servant returns home, this dua, I cannot let it not happen. So many times you must repeat that same dua, again and again and again. So it can't be Lord du'as, it has to be few. And every journey a man must specify some du'as like that. So you choose your 3 du'as, your 4 du'as. Your wife, she chooses her 3 du'as, 4 du'as, whatever it is. Something which I need this year. At every spot, before I ask anything else, I hit this one. Before my eyes close, I say these 3 and I sleep away. Soon as I wake up, I read my sunnah du'a, I say these 3. Because on every spot, I'm the guest. And the host is asking, you need anything? Yeah, I need this. And I will repeat it so many times that I know my Allah will give it to me. So much. That's one. The second is, you got time now, you'll have time in the aeroplane, you'll have time as the car is going, you must have one book with you. In that book, whenever one thought comes to your mind of a dua, you write that dua. Normally a man won't do this, women normally do it. You can write it in your phone, you can write it in a book. You will start writing, in the ending you might write up to 100 duas. A dua for this one, that one, that one. Where are you going to make these duas? That book you will take out before you sleep every night. Before you sleep, you will be in your hotel. Your eyes are ready to close. You will open that book or you will open that phone app. Please, I must go through all these duas, even if it's 200 lines, then I'll sleep away. So if I'm there for 14 days, it means 14 times I made those duas. But my 4 or 5 specific du'as, at the end of my Hajj, I must have made it about 200 to 300 to 400 times. And those ones which are called, like that person said, make dua, okay, if I remember him, I'll write his name down. Once a day, before I sleep, I'll just look at it like glancing, it's called mind reading. And say, oh Allah, I'm the guest, you the host, I got all these things to fulfill, fulfill it for me. So write it down, it won't kill you. Perhaps you'll never make dua for those people if you don't write it, so write it. They'll benefit, you'll benefit, Allah is giving, so take the chance. Point number one, you are the guest, don't lose the opportunity for dua. But to benefit from dua, choose your selected duas. And at every spot, start with that selected dua. Point number two, because you are a guest, everybody else is also guest. A guest in a house is honored as long as he doesn't interfere with the other guests. While you in Hajj, maybe you learned how to make Hajj and the other man never learned how to make it. Maybe you a woman who got a lot of adab and respect, the other auntie hasn't got it. It's very good you got a lot of respect. But remember, sometimes a host gets upset with a guest when he finds the one guest interfering with the other guest. If that guest is breaking something in the house, the host must tell him, hey, don't break this here. You mustn't tell him. Because the host might say, what it had to do with you? It's my guest in the ending. So me and you on this journey, when we see anything, anyone, look at them with the eye that is the guest of Allah. And because he's the guest, he's honored. I will not interfere with him, otherwise perhaps I'll also get kicked out. Suddenly I love everyone, I don't hate anyone. I don't argue with anyone because I don't want to argue with the guest. I will anger the host. I will not see any guest faults because finding the fault of the guest is upsetting the host. So I become blind to everything. I'm just the guest of my Allah. And the third, and this is especially for men. A person came to Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah and said, Hazrat, I'm going for Umrah, give me advice. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib said, when you will go for Umrah, you will find the woman of the world are also there. That Chinese auntie which you could never see while you were sitting in South Africa, she'll be there also. That Indonesian. He said, you will find the food of the world is like in a plate in front of you. And it's the nature of man, he likes to see pretty faces. And if a woman bought burqa, she looks even more prettier. And if she's making some ibadat, she gets a certain like shine. So he says, look at that noor like. So she's more pretty. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib said one thing which really had its effect. He said, when Nabi Lut alayhi salam, his people were involved in the action of homosexuality, which was very filthy. Almighty Allah sent angels in the form of young men to Lut alayhi salam. The people of the town heard it, so they came. It's mentioned in Quran. Lut alayhi salam never understood the angels. He understood they my guests. So he said a sentence. He said, oh my nation, inna ha'ula'i dhaifi fala tafdahuni. These are my guests. Please do not disgrace me with regards to my guests. Hazrat Hakim Sahib said, remember the women who have come to the house of Allah are the guests of Allah. As Lut alayhi salam said to his people, don't disgrace me with regards to my guests. He says, understand that your Allah is saying to you, don't disgrace me with regards to my guests. It's a unique verse, this, inna ha'ula'i dhaifi fala tafdahun. That these are my guests, don't interfere. When you will see a pretty girl, just think of this. This is the guest of Allah, this is not the time. At least it will make you feel bad about it and you will look down. So we have gone through 2 points so far. Point number one, Allah is the purpose of this journey, not to get the obligation done. So there's no rush. The journey starts from the day you leave the house, take your time. Every part of the journey is valuable, don't waste time. Point number two, you are a guest. Make the best of being the guest of Allah with your dua. Don't interfere with other guests. And the guests of Almighty Allah, don't disgrace Allah with regards to His guests. 2 points are finished. Third point, when Almighty Allah spoke about Hajj in the Quran, Allah Tawarukala said, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. When the Hajj has become farz, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. If a person understands Arabic, it opens an eye, this verse. Rafath means filthy acts that got to do with man and woman. It's also the halal act that takes place between a man and his wife. That's also called rafath. And in ihram, you can't do that. And that's one explanation of this verse, that فَلَا رَفَثَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Now you in Hajj, you cannot have relations with your wife, meaning ihram. But Quran never only mentioned فِي الْإِحْرَامِ, he said فِي الْحَجِّ. In the journey of Hajj, avoid rafath. Fusuq means sin. Jidal means arguing. So let's look at the translation. Hajj has become farz. So let there be no filthy acts. Let there be no impermissible acts. Let there be no fighting and arguing in Hajj. Let's go to another example. A man comes to me and says, I'm going for Umrah, Hajj, give me advice. I say to him, don't sin. So the man will say, Sheikh, I'm not going to the club. I'm going for Hajj. And I thought you'll tell me, read Awwabin, read Chas. Don't tell me don't sin, it's obvious don't sin. This verse is like that. That when Almighty Allah said, I'm giving you advice in your Hajj, the advice wasn't read extra nafal. Don't waste time. Read Quran. Make Lord Tawaf. The advice was don't sin. And three sins were mentioned. Each sin was like a shock. Like Hajj time, I'm going to do this sin. The first one is rafath. Rafath means normally relations with a woman. Sahaba radiallahu anhu would explain one example of relations with a woman means the halal relation with your wife. In ihram, even that you can't do. And in ihram, you won't mention to your wife that, you know, once I come out of ihram, then I'm going to spend time with you. You mustn't do that. The talks of relations also don't do it in ihram. But look at Quran. Quran never mentioned only fil ihram, it mentioned fil hajj. And Quran never make it specific toward your wife, although that was the explanation given. Because in the past, they could not imagine during the journey of Hajj, a man will get involved with another woman in that journey. So the only explanation was with your wife, don't talk about these things. And in ihram, because out of ihram is not allowed. But what a time we came into. We came into the time that a man on the journey of Hajj, remember the journey starts the day you leave your house. In the past when a man left the house, he put on ihram. Today we only put on ihram the last few days, but our journey for Hajj starts when we leave. La rafatha, on this journey, do not get involved in that filth that got to do with women. If that halal relation with the wife in ihram wasn't allowed, and the talk with the wife in ihram about it wasn't allowed, that man should think that when I look at that phone on this journey, and I see that filthy picture, this is not the time. And perhaps my Allah was speaking to me in this verse, that, oh my servant, you're going for Hajj, la rafath. That I know what you do at home, but this is not the time to do it now. Don't spoil this journey by using that phone. That is why, no matter how beneficial this phone is for WhatsApp, there is sometimes so much of khair in a man saying, I'm going for Hajj. Let me not take that phone that got an internet connection because I know I got the addiction to pornography. If I don't have the phone, I won't do it. And if that phone comes with me, if I couldn't stop it here, I might not stop it there also. فَلَا رَفَثَ. If you fear that you will fall in that filth, rather let the phone stay at home then. فَلَا رَفَثَ. وَلَا فُسُوق. Don't sin. There are many sins on this journey. Man would never have thought, I'll make sin on this journey. Almighty Allah said, don't sin on this journey. There are many sins. One is the sin of the eye, because there are going to be a lot of girls around you. One is the sin of you will start talking to other women. There will be an air hostess, you want to make a joke with her. There will be so many other women in the group, you will want to talk to them. One is the sin of bribery to get out just as a joke. I'm not forced towards, I just need to wait, but I'm a master at bribery. La fusuk. This is not the time to sin. One is the sin of cheating. Somebody never sees something, pull something away. This is not the time for sinning. La rafatha. Don't involve in filthy acts. Don't sin. Wala jidala. Don't fight and argue on this journey. Three things were mentioned. None of the three men ever thought I'll do. My one ustad said, whenever I went for my journey of Hajj, I only made one wada with myself. I won't get angry this time. He said, but on the journey again I got angry. He said, it's so hard to control your anger. You wonder why. The reason is, whoever goes for Hajj, forgot that Shaitan is also going with. Me and you think he's staying at home. He's not staying at home. It's not Ramadan, where the mighty Shayateen are chained. He's going to wait for you in Arafat, Muzdalifah, Mina, and on the way. He will enjoy to make you fight. He will enjoy to make you watch television. He will make a man who never watched TV at home in Ihram watch television in the aeroplane. He will make a lot of things happen. There's a verse in Quran where Shaitan said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit waiting for them on the path that leads towards you, Allah. Some Mufassirin explain one meaning of this is, on the road to Makkah, I will wait for them there. Meaning, as they coming to you, I'll be sitting. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. And as soon as they come onto that path, I will attack them from all sides. People who go for Hajj, you will hardly ever find a man every day in the morning saying, oh Allah, protect me from the attack of Shaitan today. Because he thinks I'm on Hajj. Where will he attack me? I'm in Ihram. That man who doesn't feel he'll get attacked can get very badly attacked. Understand that Shaitan is going with you. La rafath, wala fusuq, wala jidal. The crux of this advice number three is, don't sin and realize that Shaitan is on the journey also. Don't sin. Do it again from the beginning. Point number one, Allah is the purpose of the journey, not to fulfill this farz. Therefore, don't rush. It starts from the day you leave your house, and when you reach your haram, you don't have to finish it up in 20 minutes. Point number two, in this journey, you are the guest, Allah is the host. He's going to be asking you every second, you want anything. If you got your selected du'as, that thing will get done. If you got nothing to put at that time, you're losing out. Have your selected du'as, have your written du'as, and at every point repeat your selected du'as. Don't interfere with the other guests. Point number three, don't sin. It's a thing in your mind, it must be. Shaitan is with me, I mustn't fall. A person who's in ihram, especially that last few days when we put on ihram, we ask the mufti, what's the laws? He says, you can't use soap. Soap will spoil your ihram. You can't use itar. You mustn't scratch your beard. Hair mustn't come out. It will spoil your ihram. No one likes to spoil the ihram. But all these acts which are called jinayat, crimes against the ihram, for every one of them, there is something called then a sadaqah. That after the hajj is finished, now you go to the mufti, you said, I scratched. You say, give sadaqah. Sadaqah is called kafara. Kafara for the error against my ihram. Give some sadaqah, give one handful, give two handfuls. So those crimes against the ihram, no one wants to do it. Even though there is a kafara. And when that kafara is given, that sadaqah, that crime on the ihram gets wiped out. But the crimes of arguing and fighting, the crime of sinning, and the crime of that filthy act with girls, those are the crimes on ihram which got no kafara. They'll spoil this whole thing. Terribly they'll spoil it. If it had to happen that while you're in ihram you fought, or you got involved in looking at women, talking to women, messaging women, looking at filth on your phone, or in any other sin, there's no kafara like that. Then you will have to cry to Allah that you brought me so far and shaitan pulled me down here. Oh Allah, make maaf, make maaf, make maaf. Those ones are crimes on the ihram. This is a major crime on the ihram. Those ones got sadaqah to give. It's kafara guaranteed. Here there's no guarantee. Here you will have to cry and cry and cry. Don't sin. فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ. Look at that verse then. The next. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهِ. And remember, whatever good you do, Allah knows it. That is point number four now. Point number four is the height of ihram. The height of hajj is ihram. The journey starts from home, but your hajj comes when they say, right now, put on your ihram. And now we're going to Mina, Muzdalifah, put on your ihram. The height of ihram and the value of ihram is when it starts irritating you. That's the value of the ihram. That, hey, now 2 days already went, now I'm feeling the itch. My legs are itching. Now I want to scratch, I want to put on my deodorant. My underarms are not smelling well. It's irritating me, this thing. The woman, she's trying to wear that parda, but it mustn't touch the face. It's falling, it's not falling. Somebody's going past, he's looking at her. She's trying to cover. Everyone's like in a... It's like you're uneasy. Almighty Allah likes that condition of uneasiness. Why? In that uneasy condition, the height of hajj is ihram. And the height of ihram is when man starts realizing or despising himself also. Just, I don't like it. I just want to get clean, like I'm dirty. That feeling when he gets I'm dirty is called the highest level of abdiyat. Abdiyat means self-annihilation. That he starts looking at himself also, I don't like myself. It teaches a man that the height of your hajj is when you yourself are zero. Got this? The opposite of it, which spoils this abdiyat and the self-annihilation, is any act that you will do which will expose your hajj. The exposure of hajj is the complete opposite from the demand of the hajj. The demand of the hajj is now you became dirty. You became uneasy. You wanted to scratch, but I can't scratch. You wanted to use soap, but I can't use soap. I just want to get out of this feeling. That uneasiness is not a time where you're telling a person, hey, I'm feeling so dirty, check me up. It's like a time when you zero, zero, zero. It's Allah loves you, loves you, loves you. Going away from that day is called exposure of your hajj. Exposure of your hajj was always in the past, but in today's time, because of what was created called selfie. And from then it just went wild. Facebook, WhatsApp, that I'm going for hajj. No, not me, my followers are going with me. My every part of the journey is not seen by Allah. It has to be noticed by many others besides Allah. Look at that verse. Allah Ta'ala said, you got hajj. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجْ. Hajj is farz. First one, فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَال. Don't sin. Point number two, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever good you do, your Allah knows it. By saying your Allah knows it means you don't have to expose it. يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ. The less you will expose, the greater the value. Contact home to say you're okay. Don't contact home to show what you're doing. This picture of a man, if you see somebody else doing it, he's the guest of Allah. And Allah will treat every guest as he wants, but I mustn't do it. I am not going to that land to take pictures. This is not Switzerland and the mountains of Switzerland. I am going in that land to be noticed by my Allah. So that scene has to be captured by my Allah. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever good you're doing, your Allah has captured that scene. I don't have to capture it. I don't have to send it home. I don't have to write that it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the haram. I don't have to write it. Although I'm writing it with sincerity, but as I told you, it goes further from the demands of that I am no one. Complete annihilation is the true haji. Complete annihilation is the true haji. And exposure just goes further from it. We are not saying it's against sincerity. You might be sincere in sending the message, but the less that you do it, the greater it is. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever good you do, your Allah knows it. Point number four. Point number five. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Prepare for your journey. Prepare for your journey. What a point it was. That don't go there and then you realize, hey, I don't have this, I don't have that. Prepare from before, because when you reach there, you must have your Quran with you when you want to make your tawaf. You must have your tasbih with you to keep you busy. You must have your kitab of du'as, otherwise you'll make no du'as. You must have your munajat-e-maqbool. Prepare before you land up. Don't think when I land up, du'as will come to my mind. No du'as will come. If you wrote your du'as beforehand, you'll make it. If you never write it, you will just be blank. Prepare, prepare your mind. Prepare everything. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. Prepare for the journey. Allah Tabarakala says, and remember, the best preparation you can make is taqwa. Taqwa means the fear of Allah. I'm not going for a show. I am going in the fear of my Allah. Don't become angry with me. You need that first. But the point I wanted to mention, which is point number five, quickly again, repetition. Point number one, Allah is the purpose of the journey, not to finish the safaris. The journey starts from the house. It doesn't start from the haram. And when you reach the haram, it's not 20 minutes to finish up. Take your time. Every step of the journey, make it valuable. Point number two, in this journey, you the guest. Your host Allah at every stage will ask you what you want. Have something to say, I want. Say it so many times that Allah says, I am shy to let the servant return home. Except that exactly what he wants, I'll give it to him also. Point number three, don't sin. Don't sin. Point number four, the height of Hajj is ihram. The height of ihram is self-annihilation, complete abdiyat. Going against the seer is exposure of the hajj. The less you expose, the better. You don't have to come home and tell people, I made so every day so many tawafs. I made so many khatams. I made so much durood. You don't have to say anything. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا. Whatever you do, مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Allah knows it. That's more than enough for us. Point number five. Let your expression of love be governed with respect for your master, for your Rabb. Try and understand this point. It's a journey of love. We want to show our love to Allah. We want to show our love to Rasul. To love, the highest level of love is when there's respect. You see, a dog also loves his master. The manner he shows his love, he runs, and he jumps. And that's good for the dog. But let's say the donkey saw that they're happening. So when the master one day entered the house, the donkey also jumped. The master died. The donkey not supposed to show the love just because he saw the dog. He's supposed to think that, is this right for me? Maybe it's not right for me. Sometimes when we reach the haram and we just see everyone doing something in expression of their love, me and you think, this is also how I show love. If you can remember one point, it will help us so much to make the journey easy, enjoyable, and it won't make me shy or sad that I never got what I went looking for. It is called, oh Allah, I want to show you my love. But it will be with respect, because you are Allah. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The greatest preparation you can make for the journey is fear. When there is that amount of fear of Almighty Allah, I will not behave as a very rough person. Because when a man is in front of a king, he doesn't just loudly talk. Because in case the king looks at him and says, you got no respect, get out. Now what I'm trying to say, you understand this. And don't ever look at anybody else, because everyone is the guest of Allah. And how everyone behaves is between him and his Allah. But it's me. When I reach that Kaaba, I want myself to go touch the Hajar-e Aswad. But I understand in going to the Hajar-e Aswad, maybe I'll have to push. But if a king was looking at me, I wouldn't push. Because respect demanded you behave like an animal. What are you trying to do? You say, king, I'll open your door. You say, very good, but not like the way you're carrying on. Suddenly that minister will not run to the door of the king and push everyone and say, I want to touch your door. The king will tell you, are you mad or what? So he will try to get, and if he can't get close, he will understand the demand of love with respect is, I will stand far because the crowd is in front. That man, you will not find him pushing to get to the Hajar-e Aswad, not because he doesn't have love. It's because at the moment there's a crowd. And respect and the fear of Allah. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That fear of Allah prevents me behaving wild. Because lest my Allah says that you behave like this at home. There's one auntie there, you're pushing her out of the way, you're pushing the guard out of the way, you're putting her hand, they say, I want to touch, I want to touch. Say, are you right in your head? In the fear of a king, I wouldn't do it. Let me think that, do I have that fear of Allah at that moment? When I'm so thrilled, I'm grabbed the Hajar-e Aswad, I'm not letting it go, I'm going to kiss it. Two, three people are touching my head, say, move out, Sheikh, move out, Haji, I'm not moving out. But at that time I forgot that it's also Allah. So suddenly my respect and my fear of Allah must govern my love. Don't go wild. I reach the door of Allah to make dua. I want to get to there and cry. Three people are pushing me on the side. I just put my hand there. And he said, oh Allah, the demand of love is to touch it. The demand of respect is, I can't behave wild. There's a crowd at the moment, I'm moving. If you go for Umrah in the quiet times, you will get a lot of chance perhaps. Hajj is not quiet. So during Hajj time, don't be wild. When you will see a crowd making tawaf on the ground floor, the demand of love will be, I want to make Lord tawaf. The demand of respect is, I rather make one tawaf away from the crowd. Let's go upstairs and see. It'll take us longer there. But no one will push. And I won't push anyone. I won't have to touch a woman's face, woman's body. A woman's body won't be touching me. I won't be kicking someone. I'll be reading my Quran, taking my time. I come to Medina Munawwara. This is more for the woman, for the men also. For the men, there's a lot of time to make salam. But by the men, you will also see it, especially during the times of Hajj or the few days after. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned, O people of Iman, don't lift your voices in front of the Rasul of Allah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. لا ترفعوا صوتكم فوق صوت النبي. In that verse, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, don't do such a disrespectful act. And Almighty Allah then ends it. It must not happen that all your acts become useless and you don't even realize it. As I told you, everybody else is the guest of Allah. And Allah will deal with every guest differently. But a donkey mustn't look at a dog. And because the dog is jumping, I'll also jump. Sometimes the people of South Africa can't do the things which another country is doing. Because we ourselves say, Alhamdulillah, we got a maktab, we learned. So if you land up by the rosa and you hear people screaming, and sometimes you hear on the anti-side, such screaming, that you don't know whether one war is taking place there. But in your mind you can just understand one auntie is pulling someone's hair. And when you want to ask what they're doing there, then you say they're fighting to get onto the green carpet. So at that moment, imagine if the veil was lifted. And Rasulullah SAW at that moment was shown to every woman. You think at that moment those women will carry on that? Suddenly everyone will just get stunned. And everyone will stop running for one carpet. And everyone will feel shy. Forget the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to just come. Forget Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If an alim had to just come. Forget an alim, even if one man had to come. He looks at one woman who is normally like so meek and humble. And she sees her fighting with the other one and screaming at the other one, she'll feel shy also. But at that moment, because everyone forgot who's in front, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they go wild in order to get a place on a carpet which is called a green carpet, which is called a piece from the pieces of Jannah. But there is one thing to remember, that in the quiet times of the year, and may Allah give us a chance that we can get there sometimes in a quiet time. And He gives us the chance to enter, because ulama mentioned that there's so much of like good omen you can take. That this is a piece of Jannah, I walked into Jannah, oh Allah, now let me not come out of Jannah. But it's an omen, that's all. You won't find in the ahadith like a special virtue for the person who will read his salah in the green carpet area. You will not find that. That is why in the haram you will find of Medina Munawwara, Usman radiallahu anhu took the first two safs front. If there was so much of virtue reading salah in that green carpet area, then he would never have taken the first saf in front. That would have been the first saf. Because the asal is here. Because now the fourth saf would have come there, the third saf would have come there. Now it changed now again. So they never put that amount. I'm not saying don't try to get there. But if getting there has to come with pushing, has to come with noise, has to come with going wild, then understand that the asal of Medina Munawwara is not the green carpet. The asal of Medina Munawwara is ziyara of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And maybe in today's time, the way those guards take the woman, they create in their mind a conception that reading your two rakats on this green carpet is the only thing you hear for. So the woman don't know what they're doing there. They're waiting, 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 then they fight, then they get on the green carpet, they quickly read two rakats, one is on top of the other one, suddenly they're out. And they forgot that entire time while they're in the masjid, and why they came to Medina Munawwara, was to send salawat to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason is that anywhere else in the world, when you say sallallahu ala nabi, an angel will take your salah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when you in the haram of Medina Munawwara, anywhere in the haram, it doesn't have to be in front. At that time, when you will say sallallahu, or you will say Allahumma salli ala, or you will say sallallahu alayka, any salat you make in the haram, no matter how far you are from the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the light of the ahadith, your voice will be lifted up in its tune. You don't have to scream it loudly. Even if you say it to the tone that only your ear could hear it, your voice will be lifted, and without any angel in between, it will be conveyed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the only time in your life you will be getting the chance to send salawat directly. When you are in the haram of Medina Munawwara, you don't have to go wild. You don't have to go wild for the green carpet. You don't have to go wild to go in front of the grave of Rasulullah SAW and long stand. You must make your salawat from far with a lot of calmness. Because love must be governed with respect and with awe. So the masjid is very big. Far away, where there's no crowd, where there's no pushing, you must have your kitab. We said in Makkah Mukarramah, you must have your Quran and your Munajat-e-Makbul or your Hizbul Azam. When you come to Medina Munawwara, you must have your kitab on Durood. For an alim or a person who knows little Arabic, Dalailul Khairat is one of the best. For a non-alim, the 40 Duroods or the 100 Duroods that have been compiled. Something to read. You sit with composure. And you start reading. As you're reading, every time you're feeling your spirit going, again you just stop and you think, this is the only time in my life that directly, in the one ibarat of Nur al-Ida, they write, the author writes, have yaqeen at the moment. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nazar is on you. And his ear is listening to you. And his tongue is replying to you. So every time you lose that spirit, then just think this one thing, that it was that eye, that tongue, and that ear, which heard Sahaba, spoke to Sahaba, looked at Sahaba, and made that person a Sahabi. That eye, that tongue, and that ear is now focused on me. If it could make that person change into what a person he became, a Sahabi, it can have its effect on me also. And then start reading again. Then again you losing spirit, immediately think, where I'll get this chance in my life again. That eye, that tongue, that ear. And again start reading. When you finish your kitab, then you are now just going to go in front of the grave of Rasulullah SAW. There the guards, you will see them pushing the people away. We don't blame them, because if everyone has to stand in front of the grave of Rasulullah SAW, there will be chaos. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would come in front, he would just say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, and he would walk away. Because when a person is in front of a mighty king, you also shiver a little bit. With respect, I won't go and look inside to see, hey, what's happening inside. Inside, you're not going to see anything. You might see some green. So some people say, I saw the qabr. That's not the qabr. In Medina Munawwara, there's a museum. The museum will actually explain to you, like, there's nothing what you can see inside. The grave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is underground. So there's nothing that's in front of you. But it's in that line, the asal salah is directly downwards to the body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we will face straight, because there is something called barzakh. Barzakh is another world. And because the closest relationship of the barzakh of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with his grave, so we will face straight. And it is that place where we will understand that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is receiving ours. But his body, Mubarak body, blessed body is under. In line there's nothing. So there's no need to go see inside. That, hey, I saw something. Some people did see something. They saw something green. They thought, hey, that's the grave. I saw the grave. That's nothing. There could have been a green cloth today. Tomorrow they could put a black cloth. There was a box there. Whatever was in the box, they had to cover it with some cloth. So there's nothing to see. The demand of respect is when you come there, now you are not coming to say. Now you are coming to receive. What it means is, you made your salat from far. You read your whole kitab from far. Everything went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly, not indirectly. Every answer came. Then finally, the child was reading his nazams for his grandfather. Reading nazams, grandfather was sitting, the grandfather was enjoying. The child read. The child never have to be sitting on the grandfather's leg. The child was far, but the grandfather was listening. The grandfather never want to see one child fighting with the other child. I want to be in front. You carry on reading, I'm listening to you. Stay far, but read. After the grandchild finished reading everything, then the grandfather said, Shabash, very good, my grandchild, come here. When the grandchild came, the grandfather just put his hand on the grandchild and said, now go. It was only 1 second, but in that 1 second, the grandfather looked at the child and made the dua which the child wanted. If the child still stands in front, Then the grandfather will say, go now. And he's still standing in front. He says, okay, now go. Because make place for the others. You don't have to carry on standing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua will be 1 second, will do for you more than your standing for 1 hour might get for you sometimes. That's a place where there's not place for the whole world. So you will make your salat from far, and you will come and stand for a few seconds to receive. You will make salam to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. This is not the time now for you to start your salat again. And to take out your kitab and say, yeah, I've got another kitab to read. And the guard is pushing you and you say, well, just hold on, and you go behind the guard. This is the time with so much adab. You will find your journey in Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawara will become enjoyable. And if you find that I returned home and I never got the chance to get onto the green carpet, like for some woman it's a big worry now. They say, did I get on? I never get on. Sometimes I will mention I went for 2 umrahs or 3 umrahs, I never got the green carpet. Then a time came because I had someone with a wheelchair. One time my father was with a wheelchair. When you have someone with a wheelchair, you get on the green carpet every time you go there. Because the wheelchair, they have to let it go. But it wasn't a maqsad. It's a fadilat. It's a great honor. But if I got it with pushing, I got it with harming, then sometimes the master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say to me that my whole sunnah was to tell you to give preference to others. And you came right in front of me and you pushed others. So this wasn't the place for it. So in the masjid of Medina Munawara and in the masjid of Makkah Mukarrama, let the expression of my love to Allah be governed with respect and that awe, taqwa. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ O people of intelligence, understand who your Allah is. It's not like a Kaaba, like a game. Play on game, you go wild. Have that. 5 points. And now we will end on the last point. Before we reach the last point, let's make one more door. Number one, the purpose is Allah. It's not to finish the obligation. So take your time in it. Don't rush. Point number two, you are the guest, so keep your selected du'as. Prepare your du'as, think about it properly. 4 to 5 is most you need. 3 is like the best. Because more than that day, you always forget it. I tell people, write that one. Keep it in your pocket. Because even 3, our minds are so weak, we forget. So as soon as you look, hey, I got my 3 du'as, put it back again. Then you carry on holding. You'll forget your 3 du'as otherwise. And your other one is in your book or on your phone, Lord du'as, once a day. Point number two, don't sin. Point number three, don't sin. La rafath, wa la fusuq, wa la jidal. Why did Allah give that advice? Because shaitan is with you on this journey. There's no kafara for these things. Put it in your mind. In the aeroplane, I must not watch that movie. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah had one unique poem. He said, Jis jaga me rahu. Oh Allah, wherever I am on earth. And then he said, Jis fiza me rahu. Oh Allah, wherever I am in the sky. Because normally people who don't watch television on earth, they end up watching it there, in the sky. Jis jaga me rahu. Jis fiza me rahu. Oh Allah, where I am on earth, wherever I am in the sky, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Let my taqwa remain with me, oh Allah. Let it not go spoiled there in the air. Shaitan is with on this journey. Point number 4. Ihram is the height of Hajj. Height of Ihram is abdiyat, self-annihilation, I'm no one. Don't expose your Hajj. Because وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ Whatever you're doing, Allah knows it. You don't have to tell anybody else about it. Exposure is not good for Hajj. Point number 5. Expression of your love, governed with respect and that taqwa, that awe. Last point. So much you spent. So much of time. You're going to separate from your family. So much of crying. So much of difficulty. All of it, why? So the person will say, to get an accepted Hajj. It's not just to finish the Hajj. Everyone wants to make dua, my Hajj gets accepted. So you strive for acceptance. Striving for acceptance, someone will say, how? If I know how to get, you can try, and because of which Allah gives acceptance. This is not only for Hajj, this is for any action in life. Three things. One is at the end of the action, one is throughout the action, and one is at the beginning of the action. And you will falter, and you will try. As long as you're trying, there's a hope of acceptance. At the end of the action, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life came to an end. He was said, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When you will see people coming to the deen of Allah in droves, understand your mission is up. At that time, the world, when they're graduating, you'll see they go into a thrill. They go into what is called celebration mood. They go into party mood. When we finish the Hajj, don't go into celebration mood. Don't go into party mood. Obviously, because of Hajj, you spend so many days with your friends and family. And now poor people are sitting in Azizia. Azizia is the land of a man who got no house. Before Hajj, there's still excitement for Hajj. After Hajj, I'm going to go home. I'm waiting to see my child. So Azizia becomes boring. When it becomes boring, man normally goes into lax mode, and then he goes into party mode. Lax mode means there's no more Quran you're reading. You made enough khatams, because Hajj is finished now. They forgot that Qabooliyat sometimes comes when the ending ends with istighfar. So the Hajj ended, but the journey never ends. The journey ends when you reach home. And sometimes in that part from the day Hajj ended till the day the journey ended, a man spoils the whole Hajj. Spoiled it. Soon as he came on the aeroplane, he started watching a movie, she started watching. They started talking to people who they're not supposed to talk to. They started seeing pictures. They were just lax. There was no Quran. There was no tasbih. Why? Game over. Bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir. Rasulullah ﷺ was told, and if you remember my advice, when Hajj is finished, your 3 days of Mina is finished, and now the world is going into party mood. This auntie is going away, an uncle, so they're having one dawah today. Everyone is coming, everyone is making salam, no problem. At that time, just remember this advice, that let my party not spoil my istighfar. Let me not just be waiting now for everyday dawah meeting, and I forgot that the journey is not finished. It's still carrying on until I reach home. So if I'm not reading 5 paras, am I reading 1 para? And if I can end with istighfar. And the best istighfar is finally when my aeroplane is landing. And they are telling we are now landing, or we will be preparing for landing at Johannesburg Airport. Then I take out the tasbih. And now in that last half an hour, I don't speak to my wife don't speak to me. And in that tasbih, I say, oh Allah, I'm sorry. And I make 1,000 or 100 or 10. But I make it with a feeling that I spoiled the journey. Wastaghfir. End it with istighfar. Innahu kana tawwaba. You will find Allah's full attention will fall on you. Innahu kana tawwaba. So to get acceptance at the end, let it end with istighfar. During, unity. Unity means there will be such a group. Whether you will be with Khidmatul Awam, whether you will be with Miraj, whether you will be whichever group, there's people. And man's nature is, when you with people for too long, you're going to start fighting, arguing. You strive for unity. What someone did wrong, your agent did wrong, that person cheated, that person did. Say, this is not the time to worry of politics because it's going to spoil my acceptance. Me, I everyone now. When I go back South Africa, if I want to curse, I'll curse after. But at the moment, I love everyone. I'm not fighting with uncle so-and-so, auntie so-and-so, agent so-and-so, this person. At the moment, only unity. It mustn't spoil my acceptance. End with istighfar. Unity throughout. And what about the beginning? The beginning is send a gift. So if you're coming to visit someone, they say, that if you bring a gift at the time when you see a person, then while you with the person, he will show a lot of love for you. If you give a gift at the ending, the person will thank you, but he won't get the chance to show you love because you're going now. In Islam, there are gifts that you can give to Almighty Allah. It is called tawassul. There's a gift you can give to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is called isal sawab. Each one has its own benefits. The gift to Almighty Allah means, say example, you're going for Hajj and you want your Hajj accepted. So the Hajj is a very big action. Sometimes to get a big action accepted, you must do a small action. And you must say, in the blessings of the small action, O Allah, I'm seeking your acceptance for the big action. Because to get a small action accepted is very easy. To get a big action accepted is hard, because so many days you're going to falter. So you see one poor person walking on the road. You're preparing, today we're leaving for the airport. You call him and you say, yes, 20 rand, go buy some food. And as you put that 20 rand in his hand, you say, O Allah, I did this because I'm begging you to accept my Hajj. On the journey of the Hajj, whenever you want to give some sadaqah, say, O Allah, this is like a gift. It's called tawassul. It is, I'm begging you to look at me with that grace so you can accept my Hajj. Send some gift front. Send it before you land on the plane. It could be wealth, sadaqah, hadiah. You can go to an alim, put some money in his hand. You can go to your sister, put some money in her hand. Money makes everyone make dua. Go to someone who you and that person are not getting along well in your family. Now you're going for Hajj, so everyone phones and says, hey, I'm going for Hajj, make maaf. But the sentence, make maaf, is a very cheap sentence. But if you had a fight with someone, and you really want that person to make maaf, maybe you go to that person and you put some money in their hand. And then you say, make maaf. When they open that envelope and they see money, they really make maaf. Because money makes the world go wild. And then your intention is, oh Allah, I gave that gift just so that you will accept my Hajj. This is a gift. The gift was to the person, but it was tawassul to you to pull your special gaze. On the way, I'll say, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. That is my gift, like my tawassul to pull the nazar of Allah. I will read 2 rakats of shukr before leaving. Oh Allah, what a chance you gave me. Anything you must think about. A small action makes the big action accepted. So you find some small action. Could be example, you and your wife say, you know what, let's do this year, we've got 1 week left. Together we won't manage a khatam each, we don't read so much Quran. Let's divide Quran. You take 10 paras, I take 10 paras, somebody else takes 10 paras. 3 of us finish a khatam in 3 days, 4 days. And at the end of the khatam we say, oh Allah, this khatam was done to ask you accept our Hajj. That's also a gift. It's called tawassul, to pull the nazar of Allah to accept the action, gift. On the way to Medina Munawwara, before you reach Medina Munawwara, send your gift. Here it's called isal sawab. So what will be your gift? While I'm in the bus going to Medina Munawwara, I will read 1,000 times durood, which will reach Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam before I reach. So when the gift is already there, and obviously the person now wants to thank the person who sent the gift. Hazrat Tanwir rahimullah example would tell people, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar, the surah which speaks greatly of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, really 1,000 times. It pleases Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lot. So you will see some people will get in the bus, they will read the surah. That's also a gift. Really is durood itself, 1,000 times durood. Dalailul Khairat, they finish the whole thing. Or sadaqah, and oh Allah, let the sawab of this go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isal sawab. So by Almighty Allah, it's called tawassul, to pull the gaze of Almighty Allah. I'll do one action which is small to make the big one happen. Because to pull the aeroplane out of the hangar, sometimes you'll see that small truck in front. It's sometimes a small thing that makes a very big thing move. It's one small action to pull Allah's special gaze and make the big action accepted. Three things before the action, a gift. During the action, unity. And at the end of the action, istighfar. Especially as I'm coming down, let that tasbih come out. And when I land, it is like there's a tear in my eye. Wastaghfir. And Allah, big mouth. Innahu kana tawwaba. You will find that Allah will turn His full attention. May Allah make everyone's hajj an accepted hajj. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make what I have said beneficial for all. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us make unique du'as during this journey. And let us see the results of those du'as on our return, even before our return. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.